When I was a kid, it seemed like the calendar never changed. Now that I'm 53, it seems like it changes every other week. Those of you who are my age and older, you know, right? That's how it goes down. You go, I can't believe. Well, it happens every year at the same time. It just, our perception of things seem to change. Just a couple of things real quick. There is a sign-up sheet out in the foyer for those of you who will be showing up for the last three Sundays in January and the first Sunday in February. We're going to kind of have, it's hearing God's, this is having God's ear. We're going to be talking about prayer. It's not exactly a boot camp, but it's a refresher, and you will be encouraged and you will be empowered in your prayer life. No better time to refresh our communication with God than the front end of the year, which reminds me that the first week of the year, beginning with Sunday, the first Sunday of the year, the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we're going to get together for our prayer emphasis, but the prayer week will continue from Sunday to Sunday. And then in your bulletin that you're going to put away as soon as I put mine away, right? That's how this works. We are going to, gentlemen, be heading into Philadelphia to the official coffee roaster of Calvary Assembly of God. The information is in there. And if you plan on coming and if you can come, I mean, pay attention to the note real good. It goes out in the weekly email, but let Greg know so he can kind of, well, I guess it doesn't matter. If you show up, you're coming with us. Show up at 7 o'clock. We're going to have sandwiches, which I think are going to be made by, going to be catered. Catered by Midge. So, you know, if you just want a sandwich and go home, I wouldn't blame you, but we're going to go right from there to our coffee roasters. So kind of pay attention to those things and make plans. Revelation chapter 1. It was an odd week, and so we didn't get the information out in time to our readers. So what I would like to do is for us to read verses 9 through 14 together. If you have a version other than the one I'm reading from, I'm okay with that. Read your version. If you have the Bible app, the passages are in there, and you can dig it up that way. So let me ask you to have your Bible there, ready to go. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 through 14. And so we can kind of hear, well, why don't you stand? We don't do this all the time. We should probably do this a little more often. Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 9, and we're going to conclude our reading with verse 14. And read with me. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. Now, Father, I pray for the grace to speak your word to your people with your heart. And so may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. You may be seated and go ahead and keep your Bible open. We're going to process through those verses, though we'll throw a couple others in there. At the end of 2019, and as we enter into 2020, there is no better commitment we can make than to looking to Jesus. What do I need as I rehearse the events of my life and the lives of those who are important to me in 2019? I need to see Jesus. And as I look forward to a year that is ahead with actually no idea how, you know, December 29th, 2020 is going to look like, what do I need? I need a vision of Jesus. Heading into 2020 and as I process through 2020, and the same thing is true for you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul wrote this, And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are. And if you want to, you can go ahead and underline that are. Are being transformed into what? The same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So one thing the Bible tells us about life transformation, and we know the Christian life is about transformation. And there is a prayer request that comes to us led by the Scripture that we are looking forward to being transformed by the renewal of our mind, which comes to reading the Scripture, which is all about Jesus Christ. As we behold Jesus, we are being transformed. When you see Him, when you get a vision of Him, it is next to impossible to stay the same. In fact, let me go ahead and say this. It's impossible to stay the same. We can behold Jesus, and we are transformed. We are transformed as we see Him and behold Him as being beautiful and as desirous to us, and we are conformed to His image. Or we can catch a glimpse of Him and stay in rebellion, and we are not left in a static place. We go down the path of degradation. You can't see Jesus and stay unchanged. We will either be moved forward to Him or behind Him. I have a friend who's a pastor, and he says this to me regularly because he likes to say this to me regularly. He said, "Brian, one thing is true about being in ministry. Being in ministry will either make you a better Christian or it'll make you a worse Christian. You're not going to stay the same kind of Christian if you give your life in ministry." And I actually think this is true for all of us. As we look to Jesus and we behold Him, we will either be made better Christians, we will be saved, and we will be purified, and we will be transformed into that same image, which is the purpose that God has in opening our eyes to His beauty, or we will move away from Him, and that will transform our lives in awful ways. Beholding the glory of the Lord, 2 Corinthians says, we are being transformed into the same image. As you look back on 2019, I believe for most of us, not all of us, it was a year of transformation. It was probably we're moving forward and then a little bit backward, a little bit forward, but hopefully we all look back and say, we've moved forward this year. Some of us has been, no, you've been sprinting, and we look at, you know, those of us who weren't sprinting, we're kind of crawling along, or just, we're winded by watching you. It's thrilling, but you know, it's exhausting to watch people who are just tearing it up. We become like what we spend our time focusing upon, right? If you're around those who are always upbeat and encouraging, it affects you, doesn't it? If you're around people who are always disappointed and always disgruntled and always cantankerous, always critical, you become more and more like that. If you wake up in the morning and you turn on Fox News and it stays on until you go to bed, it affects your attitude. If you wake up in the morning and you turn on CNN and you leave it on in the background until the end of the night, it affects your attitude. And I'd like to say my opinion is neither one of them is a particularly helpful one. There's a way of consuming news. There's a way of consuming information that encourages us, that helps us get our mind around the issues of the day and enables us to pray and be salt and light in this world. And there's a way to be co-opted into an attitude that isn't one that is pleasing to God. Like, if you take a look at what's going on the left side of the highway while you're driving around, what will happen over time? You drift in the direction that you look. Or if you happen to have something exciting going on the right, you drift over time in the direction that you look. And here is the deal. When we look at Jesus, we're not drifting in the direction of Jesus, because it takes activity on our part to look to Jesus. We open up the Word of God. And there we have Jesus Christ exposed to us, revealing Himself to us, teaching us about Himself. I love the story of after the resurrection, Jesus on the road with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And, you know, He's just letting them know, hey, this is what the Bible says I love it. They say, hey, don't you know anything? Haven't you heard what's been going on? There's this guy named Jesus, and we had our hopes placed upon him. You know, they're blind to who Jesus is. But at the end of their time together, their eyes were opened. Oh, didn't our hearts beat with enthusiasm? Weren't our hearts warmed as he taught us? What a great opportunity it is to be taught by Jesus about Jesus, which happens to us when we open the Scriptures. We are taught by the Holy Spirit about Jesus. We are taught by the Holy Spirit about the Word of God. We're taught by the Holy Spirit and about the Father. And so when we open up our Bibles and we spend time engaged in it and allow it to engage us, it's not a drifting in the direction of the Father. It's not a drifting in the direction of the Spirit. It's not drifting in the direction of life transformation where we're more and more like Jesus. We are pulled in that direction. It's good news, right? If you want motivation to give yourself to engaging in your Bible this year slowly enough that it engages you, have this thought. Every time you open up the Bible, you're meeting with God. And his hand is extended and he's pulling you in his direction, conforming you to the image of his blessed Son. If you behold him, which is what happened when we opened the Scriptures, you will become more and more like him. And so as we close out 2019 and we enter into 2020, we need to see Jesus. I need to see Jesus. Because there are things about Jesus that I need to know this morning. There are things about Jesus that I need to be convinced of when I wake up Wednesday morning, January 1st, 2020. Can you believe it? Where did the time go? I need to see in Jesus the perseverance that he had in his affliction, because affliction is going to come. And if I'm going to persevere, I need to see him and be drawn and made more like him. I need to see the strength that he had in times of pressure if I'm going to have strength in my times of pressure. I need the wisdom of Christ for every single day of my life. And if I look at the wisdom and how he processed his life, it will give me wisdom in walking through mine. You and I both need his stability as we attempt to make our way through all of the social and political and personal changes that seem to be taking place every single day. If we're going to keep our witness, if we're going to engage in those who are being undone by the whirlwind that is the life that we're living around, that is being lived around us right now, if we're going to keep our witness, we're going to need his stability, we're going to need his wisdom, and we're going to need the assurance of his steadfast control as our culture feels like it is sliding further and further away from his truth, right? We're going to be convinced of his accord, have the assurance of his steadfast control. Because if we don't have this assurance, and the only way we can get this assurance is to see Jesus, even as he's being beaten by those who will crucify him, say, Father, forgive them. That's not the words of somebody who's out of control. As he's about to be crucified, he says to Pilate, you don't have power over my life. I lay my life down. Simply put, we need Jesus within our view. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, we are now God's children, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Because what? We shall see him as he is. We're going to be like him because we will see him as he is. It's kind of an interesting cause effect. We're going to be like him in unsinful ways when we're brought into his presence, because we're going to see him clearer than we ever have before. And as his glory comes to us on a regular basis, we are being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to another. Don't you love those seasons when you can feel yourself growing in faith? When you're at the McDonald's drive-thru and it feels like Jesus is there with you of all places. I had that experience years and years and years ago. I go, yeah, I'd like my Big Mac, because that's what I ordered back in the day. I go, I can't believe Jesus is. I was feeling it. I love those seasons. And then there are seasons we don't perceive it, because it seems to be growing so slowly. In fact, we take a look at our own life, we say, you know what, I feel like I'm walking backwards a little bit. I feel like I'm more aware of my sin than I ever have been before, which to me is a sign of growth. You know, when I first gave my life to Jesus, I repented of my sins, and I thought I was good. I would have told you, I don't have any issue with anger. I have my issues, you know, but anger's not one of them. And I know a lot of people who struggle with worry, but that's not my issue. Well, you know, you get a son, and that changes. Didn't know I had worry issues. Boy, howdy, do you get worry issues when you have kids. Got a text from my kid last night about lost my mind with worry. And I have people come, Pastor, it just seems like I'm going backwards. I'm more and more aware of sin. Well, tell me about it. Are you repenting for the same things that you used to repent for? Well, no, it's actually a whole new cadre of things, a whole new grouping of things. Well, to me, that's an indication the Spirit's at work in your life. Before I was saved, here's what happened to me. I sinned with impunity, didn't worry about any of it. And now as I've grown in the faith, I think I repent faster because I'm aware of my sin quicker. And I repent more because I'm more aware of the degree, the depth, the breadth of my fallenness. And here's what I like to say. I can still sin, but I'm a less competent sinner than I once was. I'm moving forward in grace, and you are as well. And I would pray that this year that's ahead of us will be one of those times of moving forward just with rapid speed. My prayer is that when you get to the end of 2020, you will say, man, I felt the Lord with me every step of the way. So since it seems to be to the degree that we see Jesus, we're changed into his image, we're going to do that very thing this morning, and we're going to take the vision that Jesus gave of himself to John on the island of Patmos, and we're going to walk through it briefly. Revelation chapter 1, beginning with verse 9. And there we're told that John was exiled on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So here's just one thing before we move on. If you think the world that has fallen, if you think the culture that is not in love with Jesus, has no understanding, is going to love you and pat you on the back because you're serving him, well, disabuse yourself of that thought. John was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. In this world, you will have trouble because you love Jesus. We ought to anticipate that the news isn't going to always be patting Christians on the back. In fact, if the news never again pats us on the back, that's what I expect. But there on the island, God gives John a grand vision of Jesus. And in verse 10, John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches. So to me, as I take a look at this verse, it tells me that John's vision wasn't meant only for him. It was meant for the churches. And we read through that list of churches that it was specifically to go to, and I believe it is meant for us as well. So the question we have before us is, what did John see? Because the vision that God gave to Jesus is for us, and we ought to see the same thing. The first thing that Jesus saw was he saw Jesus standing in the midst of the church. Verses 12 and 13. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands stands one like a son of man. So in verse 20, we are clued into what these lampstands are. Because if they're just lampstands you go and get from IKEA, it doesn't mean anything. But in verse 20, it answers the question for us. And here's why you keep reading your Bible and why you always read it in context. Because if you come to me, Pastor Brian, what are these lampstands? I said, you read the whole chapter. Well, go back and read the chapter because it tells you what they are. Verse 20, we're clued into, as for the mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. We'll probably come back to that. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. This is wonderful. When John turns, he sees one like a son of man standing among the lampstands, standing among the churches. Not over the churches in authority, though he has full authority over the churches. Not distant from the churches, though he's everywhere the church is not. But in the midst of them, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man. And when you and I look to Jesus, look for Jesus in our out of control's life. We need to see him as he is revealed in Scripture, as one who is standing in our midst. If you take a look at Calvary Assembly of God, which those of you call this place your home, you look at what's going on here, and sometimes you wonder, we're going to make it. Where's Jesus? He's amongst his churches, one of which is Calvary Assembly of God. And then there's this thing that you did back in Sunday school. Here's the church, this is steeple, open the door, and here's all the people. When you open the doors, we all scatter, right? But we're still the church. He's amongst us while we're away from our brothers and sisters when we need to be near someone. And there are times when I will be in a place of weakness, and he's probably tapped Franny on the shoulder. Would you pray for Brian? I'm sure that's happened. I know it's happened. Would you pray for Brian's wife? I know that has happened. He's among the church. The churches, our church, and each participant, each individual member of the church. He's not far away in time or space. He is among us. And what's he doing? He's trimming our wicks that our light might be brighter, that it might be sharper, that it might burn with passion. Jesus is among us this morning, and my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes and you can see him amongst us. He's eager that we might see him so that we might become more and more like him. And so we're invited to see what John saw. John saw Jesus standing among the churches. He also saw that Jesus was one like a son of man. Verse 13 describes the person that is standing among the lampstands to be one like a son of man. Now, most of you probably know that Son of Man was Jesus' favorite nickname for himself in the Gospels. Well, he walked this earth with the disciples, and he would give himself a name, refer to himself in his preaching and his teaching and his casual relationship with his friends. He would refer to himself as the Son of Man more than any other title, more than Prince of Peace, more than any other title. His favorite title for himself while he was on this earth. And while this title clearly refers to his humility, refers to him being one who was born of a virgin, born under the law, born natural, born of the flesh. He participated in our fleshly nature through his mother Mary. And so this is a comforting title of humility. When he identifies himself, he identifies himself as being like us. But there's more to this title than warm humility and affection. This same title is used prophetically of Jesus in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, where this title refers to a great ruler. Here's Daniel's vision. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days, referring to God the Father, and was presented before the Ancient of Days. And to him, this one who's like a son of man, was given dominion, was given glory and honor and kingdom, that all peoples and all nations and languages should serve him. His dominion in Daniel's vision was an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. So when John saw one like a son of man standing in the midst of the lampstands, he was seeing someone who has all dominion, who has all kingdoms, who will rule all peoples, all nations, and who will rule over the world forever and forever, and one whose kingdom shall not be destroyed. We need to have this vision of the Son of Man if we're going to make it. We need to know the tenderness and the affection and the love that he has for us, the humility he had in becoming like us and sharing a human nature. But we also need to understand that this one like a Son of Man has all dominion and all authority, and he will rule the world forever and ever. And of his kingdom, of his dominion, of his rulership, there will never be a decrease. He is in control. We need to see this today, and we will need to see it again on January 1st. John also saw that this one who was like a son of man was clothed with a robe, a golden robe, a robe and a golden sash. Verse 13, this son of man was, the Bible says, clothed with a long robe with a golden sash around his chest. So this word translated long robe almost always refers to the high priest in the Old Testament. The golden sash around his chest seems to indicate the greatness of his priesthood. Jesus, the Son of Man, from Daniel chapter 7, is also our great high priest, as we see in Hebrews chapter 4, who ends all need for priestly sacrifice in the temple. There is no more any need for an animal to be sacrificed for us because Jesus, our great high priest, offered up himself once and for all. He is clothed with a long robe, and he has a golden sash around his chest. He isn't just one among many high priests. He is the highest priest of all time, and his sacrifice is better. No longer is there any need for any additional sacrifice. And so if you take a look at how sinful you are, well, how am I going to get through this one? Where am I going to go to find forgiveness? What was the answer for that? Go back to Jesus, the same place you went to forgiveness for the first time. And the thousandth time, and for some of you, the millionth time, go back to the same source of forgiveness, and you will find that there's a fountain that continues to flow. And as we plunge ourselves in there, we will lose all our guilty stain. John also saw his head and his hair. On his head was hair that was white, like wool and like snow. Verse 14, the hairs of his head were white wool, like snow. It's interesting. Because in the same chapter of Daniel, where Daniel sees one who's like a son of man who has all authority, God the Father is described in the same way that Jesus the Son is described in John's vision. Verse 9, the Ancient of Days took his seat, his vesture was like white snow, and the hair of his head was like white, like pure wool. I'm not exactly sure what this is communicating. I think it is communicating something about the wisdom and the dignity of Jesus, the Son of Man, who is standing among the lampstands. There is a commonality in wisdom between Christ the Son and God the Father. They are co-equal in their wisdom. They are co-equal in their power. And so in Daniel, we kind of get God the Father being the one with the white hair, right? Because, you know, every comic book has God the Father with white hair. Jesus is a little baby, or he's very Caucasian and kind of skinny and long hair. Well, John looks, and Jesus too, in his revelation, has on his head hair that is white, like white wool, like snow. So when John saw Jesus, Jesus was like the Ancient of Days with all the wisdom of eternity, with all the maturity and all the steadfastness of age, and yet he isn't weak. And he will not falter. For when John sees him, one more thing, he sees him with eyes that are like a flame of fire. When you think of passion, you think of those who are in their youth, right? I'm passionate about things, but my passion has waned just a little bit. Or my energy, my capacity to follow through with the passion. Sometimes I would, back in the when I was a kid, I'd lose myself in my passion. And here in this picture, you have kind of an indication that Jesus has all the passion anybody would ever need to have at the same time. It is tempered by all the wisdom of the eternal Godhead. Verse 14. His eyes were like a flame of fire. So we can be sure of this. The eyes of the Son of Man are sharp and they are clear and they see. They see the condition of the world. They see the true condition of the world. They see the condition of our hearts. They see the condition of our souls. They see the true condition of our hearts and the true condition of our souls. And they see the true condition of the hearts and the souls of those who seem to be losing their mind in sin. But he sees the desperation that is there, and he has a capacity to motivate one of us to bring them the good news that their life might be transformed. Nobody is lost. Nobody is beyond the wisdom of God in reaching out to and transforming, nor is he blind to what is going on in their lives. These eyes of the Son of Man, they miss nothing that happens in the universe. They don't miss a thing. His hair is white as snow, with all the wisdom and all the maturity of the Ancient of Days, and his eyes like fire, with all the energy and all the zeal of youth. So as we gaze on Jesus at the end of 2019, we need to remind ourselves that he is not tired. He is not burned out. He is not fatigued. He is not confused. He is not weak. He is not distant. When Jesus thinks about the plans that he has for you, for Calvary, for the United States, and for all the nations of the world in 2020, he is not hesitant in bringing about his good purposes for us. He is not bored or weary in engaging with us and dealing with us. That's why when we take a look at the scriptures, we can find encouragement. His mercies are new every morning. My Bible college professor used to get up and he'd say this, aren't you glad the Lord doesn't serve leftovers? Well, you know, sometimes leftovers are great. He says, but never really as great as the real thing done rightly. He is among us. He is among us with all of his affection. He is with us with all of his authority. He is among us with all of his sin-consuming power. He is among us with all of his wisdom and all of his energy. And that has been the truth of every moment of 2019. It will not change in the last several days of 2019. You know, a lot of businesses shut their doors between Christmas and New Year's. God doesn't do that. He's as vigilant as he ever is. He's as vigilant on December 30th as he is on Easter Sunday. Isn't that good news? Not taking any time off. He hasn't grown weary. And so we see all of this when we look at Jesus in John's vision, but it's more than just that. In Revelation 1, verses 15 through 18, show that his feet were like burnished bronze, refined in furnace, that he might crush any enemy. His voice was like the roar of many waters. In Ezekiel 1, this is the sound of the approaching glory of the Almighty. In his right hand, he has the seven stars, maybe human messengers, human pastors, some say, or literal angels that are sent out as messengers or personifications of each individual church's identity. There are several ways of interpreting what the stars are, but they're all in his hand and they're all God's people. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. This is God's word that is searching the hearts and judging rebels. And his face was like the sun shining in full strength. The fearful intensity here that if we didn't belong to him, we would run from him. He's all these things. And he's always all these things. When John saw him in verse 17, he did the only thing that you could do when you see someone like this. He fell at his feet as though he was dead. But then he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not. I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Loved ones, we need to see this one over and over and over and over again. And we see him when we open up our scriptures and we read and we look for him. He's there to say, here I am. We see him when we come together in the body of Christ. And there's times when the song is our favorite song, but we are so weary from the bad week we've had. We can barely whisper a word. But then a sister will see us, a brother will see us in our distress, and they will sidle up next to us. And every now and then they'll grab our hand and they'll sing for us. And here we see that the body of Christ brings us a picture of Christ. Loved ones, gaze upon Jesus. Look to Jesus. And be convinced that you have not been alone for a single moment in 2019. I've had conversations with some of you and you felt alone. And you confess with your mouth what you know to be true. I know God's with me. He's promised that he will not leave me, that he will not forsake me. I know he's with me. But I have no idea where he is. This is an act of faith. You have not been alone at any time in 2019. You are not alone right here, right now. Neither are those who you love, who seem to be destroying their lives every single day. They're not alone. Because God sees every move of their lives, and He is at work by His Spirit to bring them into relationship, to deliver them from their difficulty, to deliver them from their addictions, to deliver them from their sorrows, their anxiety, to bring them to a place of peace and increasing rest. He is with them. And the good news is this. Not only have you been accompanied by Jesus through 2:19. Not only are you accompanied by Him right now, but He will be with you in 2020. There will never be a moment when you are far from Him. We have not been alone in 2019. There have been times, I dare say, that I felt alone. But I haven't. In any of our disappointments, in any of my disappointments, I have not been alone. You have not been alone. How do I know? Well, you showed up today to worship Him. Because if you're alone and you don't think He's with you, you got much better things to do. Just stay in bed and cry yourself back to sleep. But you showed up this morning because God is with you. You showed up to worship. You've seen enough of Jesus to want to see more of Jesus, and that's why you showed up today. You haven't given up hope, though you feel like there's no hope. You haven't given up, and I know because I see you. He's been with you in your disappointments, and He has been with you in your joys. How about this? How many of you have had some great times this year? For some of you, this might have been the best year ever. Well, it's not because you're able to take care of your life. Well, it's because He just loves you and has given you grace. Have you, every good moment has been the kindness of God to you. Have you said thanks? That was fun. That was a blast. Thank you. I have a close friend of mine who every morning or every some point everybody gets on their phone and they look at live cam pictures of the Trevi Fountain, the Plaza Navona, the little square there in Siena, every day stalking that place. It was a good experience. And thank yous to the Lord come forth from that. You have not been alone. You are not alone. You're not alone right now in your parenting, and so you can have confidence even when the circumstances your children are going through are bigger than they are for you. A word to parents. You need to be spiritually engaged with your children. You need to assume that if they go to public school, they're being taught 100% truth that is false. And that what they're being taught is the easiest thing for them to believe because everybody who's around them believes it without any thought. And so you need to be engaged with them, understand what they're being taught, and when they come home saying, I was taught with this, this, and that, try not to lose your mind. Because if you wig out, if you can't handle it, they're not going to share with you the next difficult thing. Let's talk about that. Let's go to the Word of God with that. You know, you need to be a safe place for your children when they're questioning their faith. They need to be able to come to you and say, I don't know if I believe this. Well, sweetheart, I'm going to believe it for you until God brings you back around. Let's talk about this. Engage them. Don't let it just go sideways. Don't assume because they've been at church and because they're polite that they're getting it. Engage with them. As we engage the people around us, God is going to be with us. The Holy Spirit is with you. So listen, love, be bold, and be gracious with the truth about your love for Jesus, and resist the urge to scold people who don't think fondly of Christianity or Christians. The Holy Spirit's with you. Pray that your lost friends will get a glimpse of Jesus, and that will transform them. And then the last thought is this, we will not be alone. Just a couple of specifics, we're not going to be alone in the election of 2020. It's not going to be alone. If it goes your way, not alone. If it doesn't go your way, not alone. At 12 a.m. on January 1st, 2020, all the way through 11:59 p.m. December 31st, 2020, God will be calm, cool, and collected. If your candidate does not win, the Lord's not going to wig out. He's just fine. So try to find your calm and your comfort and your hope, not in the next election, but in the one who holds not just the future, but holds your life right here, right now, who sets up and who brings down. If in your career before you, there is a job loss, there is a job demotion, there is a job retention at the same level, if you get advancement, we need to see Jesus. It doesn't matter how it goes for you in your career this year. You need to see Jesus if you're going to have rest, if you're going to be at peace, if you're going to have confidence, if you're going to have graciousness and humility, if this is a season of growth for you. In your doctor visits, both routine and emergency, Jesus is going to be with you. And in the care and concern for your loved ones, young and old alike, Jesus is going to be with you. And because Jesus is with us, we can bring everything to Him and believe and know that He is bringing everything that He is to bear upon the need of our lives, the needs of our loved ones, and the need of our church. When we take a look at the vision John had, and we see Jesus in all these ways. All that He has, He will bring to us in our point of need, which is comforting. So we need to see Jesus as He stands among the churches, exactly as He is. So the prayer is this: open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. How is He with you? He indwells you by His Spirit. He is with you by His body, the church. Close your eyes. If you have your eyes open to who Jesus is, it will help you interpret the difficulties of 2019. And I'm just wondering, is there somebody or maybe a couple of people who have struggled through this year and you're just unsure why it went down the way it did? And you need to see Jesus so that you might interpret 2019 as one of His care for you rather than a year in which He abandoned you. Pastor, I need to be assured of His care for me this past year because it's been rough, too big for me. Would you raise your hand so I can see who you are? And I can, yes, sir. Having a difficult time interpreting how things went, why things went the way they did. Maybe you are super stressed about what's going on in your life right now. Maybe you are given over to anxiety about how it's going for a very close loved one of yours. You say, Pastor Brian, I'm so worried about my friend. I'm so worried about my mom. I'm so worried about my son. I'm so worried about my own health that I find it difficult to sleep. And I need to see Jesus in my life just to have rest. Anybody in that position? Your right now is just stealing sleep and rest from you. And maybe you're one of those who's taking a look at what may happen in this next year. And you look back at 2019 and 2018 and 2017, it seems like the slide to insanity will never stop. And you're afraid of what's going to happen in the year that is ahead. And you need to see Jesus just to be anchored in the truth that He is among the church, and that includes our church, and that includes you, your family. And that includes the country you're in, because He's with this country by His church and His people. You need that confidence, anybody, for the year that's ahead? You're just terrified of what's about to happen? All right, there's a couple of us. So I pray with Paul, Ephesians chapter 1, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, or that you may know the hope to which He has called you. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, loved one. As you try to process and make sense of 2019, I pray that the eyes of your enlightening, that he will enlighten the eyes of your heart, that you may know the hope that held you and kept you from falling in this past year. That the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order to know that he is with you right now, and so you are not absent hope. That all things that he is, he can bring to bear and leverage upon your difficulty and your worry and your sorrow, and bring about his glory and your good, and bring you into a place of joy and peace and love. And Father, all of us look forward to this next year as being one that is consumed with your presence. May we not give up hope. May we not lose heart. But may the eyes of our hearts be enlightened in order that we would know on January 1st throughout every day of every month in 2020, no matter how bad it looks, Lord, that we are not absent hope, because the one who is hope is with us. He is standing among the church with all of his power and all of his authority, with all of his energy, and with all of his wisdom to do his will, and his will is always good. Lord, encourage us with these truths, we pray, and we all ask it. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. Memorize that and hold on to it. And pray it, that the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened. You may know the hope, because you're going to need it. Amen? Love one another. Happy New Year.